Welcome to the comic
zone.
What is happening, nerds? This is the Comic Zone Podcast.
Yes, sir.
Doing our second episode of For the Love of Hip Hop.
We got a special guest in the building, too, yo.
Got Osh from the Ghost with us.
What's good, everybody?
And DJ Nike.
Always.
Gonna have Bill here shortly on the live. So first of all, like I said, we're going to be talking about hip-hop today. We did one episode, thought we should just keep running with that idea and just do a whole series of those.
Yeah.
We won't be playing any music on this one because last one we kind of went wild with, but they will mute the live if we do that, so won't be doing that. First of all, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. You know me, I love to be here, bro. I love to talk, so you guys give me lots of chances to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Hell yeah. No Aaron today. We only had enough mics for us.
We miss you though, homie.
Yeah, we'll definitely have him on the next one. Nike, how you doing, brother?
Yo, can't complain, man. Living a good life.
That's good. Hold on, I gotta fuck with these levels. There we go. All right, so first of all, you guys were talking on a post, and it looked like I didn't get to read all the comments or the post itself, but you guys were talking about Lil Wayne, it looked like.
Oh, yeah,
And him being essentially the godfather of hip-hop, was that?
Well, we didn't word it that way.
Kind of like the GOAT. The godfather to me would be like the person, like an originator, like a forefather, or like a person who made the biggest impact first. Weezy ain't that. But to me, Weezy is the best rapper of all time. And that's multiple things compounded into it, not just the lyrics, which to me, he's top tier regardless. So, but it's career, longevity, body of work, you know, billboards, number ones, you know, features that go number one, you know, so he's having impact on other people. He's brought out other people in the culture. And not only that, really over probably the last, I'd say from like 2005 to now, he's left the biggest lasting overall. He's influenced more artists in that time period than anybody else, as far as I can see.
Right. And that's where we were talking about it. And there's going to be a difference because of our age difference. I'm 47. You know,
I'm 37.
Right. You know what I mean? So there's that 10 year. Now, I wasn't for one, I like the fact that we were able to have that discussion without it being an argument. You know what I'm saying? We were discussing our own different opinions on it. As someone that's been alive almost as long as hip hop, you know, celebrated its 50th anniversary last year. That was huge. You know what I mean? So I've been around longer to see different people come up. And again, I was saying it takes nothing away from Wayne, because for real, I would think especially for this generation, I would agree with that time span from 2005 until now. He's definitely had the biggest impact. You can't have the majority of rappers out now have taken something from him, whether it's him singing the way he uses autotone, even his style and dress. Like, he's one of the ones that brought back like dreads. You know what I mean? Of course, you know, New York was big on it when it first came out. You know, we're talking late 80s, early 90s. But still, again, for this generation,
the current generation, yeah, he's basically a bunch of Wayne carbon copies, this whole generation, basically.
Which I don't necessarily think is a good thing. I think originality, at least, I shouldn't say, make sure I word this correctly. I don't think originality is gone in hip hop. There's definitely plenty of people that are doing it big and are doing it different. However, I think the music industry, so like the record labels, are looking for these carbon copies. You know what I mean? Like, and this is from somebody that works in radio. You know what I mean? I hear it's to the point now. And even when I'm DJing at the bars, like, you know what I mean? Especially the college kids that come from all over. So, you know what I mean? During the college months, they're asking for all these motherfuckers that sound the same. You know what I mean? And it's crazy to me because in the 90s, that was called biting, and you did not do it. You know what I mean? Everybody sounded different. You could, like, you could tell Cube, you could tell Jay, you could tell Dre, you could tell Easy, you know what I'm saying? You could tell, you know what I mean, Wu-Tang, and each individual member of the Wu-Tang. Now, you know what I mean, it's Lil whatever. You know what I mean? Popcorn Stain, you know?
For real, it is all Lil something, this or that, and it's fucking crazy. So, how long has Wayne been in the game? Like, so he was with the Cash Money Millionaires originally,
yeah,
right?
He was one of the original Hot Boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
and he was like 15.
His first project was 500 Degrees, right?
No. Nah, because actually the first one he did was with BG. They were called the BGs, Baby Gangsters, before BG took over that name. So he had a couple of albums out before 500 Degrees.
That was his first solo project?
Maybe.
I'm trying to look up dates right now so I don't talk out of my ass. But the first time I heard a Wheezy was The Block Is Hot. That was the first Lil Wayne song I ever heard, ever. And I've liked Lil Wayne ever since. The Carter one, I think I was locked up in juvie or something when that came out, so uh-huh. I kind of missed that one, and I got out right before the Carter 2, and I remember the Carter 2 was like a fucking bombshell. Go DJ, I remember like the world premiere on MTV, when they used to do those?
Mm-hmm.
When
they still played music.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the world premiere of Go DJ, and that to me was like, oh, this fool, he's my favorite. And so to me, Weezy's been that to me ever since. So it says debut album in 99 with The Block Is Hot. That's his first solo album.
Okay, and that's probably right, because I know, like I said, he had the one with the BGs with BG. He had the Hot Boys. There was a couple of Hot Boy albums, you know what
yeah
I mean? So that was him, Turk, BG, and Juvie. So it was all four of them. So there were like Cash Money was dropping shit left and right, kind of like the way Master P had done it. No Limit, you
yeah
know?
What's in what the fuck's his name? Big Bird or some shit?
Birdman. Yeah.
Big Bird. What the fuck? He was a part of that shit, too.
Yeah,
he's the one who started Cash Money. Him and his brother.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we were talking about you wouldn't necessarily call him the Godfather.
No.
So who would you put in that spot?
I mean, it's always debatable, but the common consensus in hip hop, and correct me if I'm wrong, Nike, but it goes back to DJ Kool Herc with his implementation of DJing at parties. And then later that evolved into the MCs over the mic with the DJ and the break-in and rapping over break-in beats. Which the break beat is just a certain part of a record where it's just the instrumental part. So the DJs would learn how to loop them back and forth, so it would just play the instrumental.
And that was why there were two turntables, because back before we had all of these digital things, like, you know what I mean, where you can loop something infinity now. Back in the day, you had to have two of the same record. It was called doubles. And you had two turntables, and the thing in the middle was the mixer, for those that don't know. And they would play the breaks, and then as soon as they knew it was getting over, that's what they had their headphones for, so they could make sure it was, you know, equal on the same beats per minute, and then they'd switch over to the other side and went back and forth.
And to me, that's a skill in itself. I literally just bought a set of turntables, and it's literally only to be a button pusher DJ.
Right.
Because I couldn't find a DJ for the last event, and I was like, man, this ain't going to happen to me again, so if I got to learn how to push a button, I'm going to do this.
Right.
But the skill to be able to do what you was just talking about, to have two identical records and to find the break part in mm-hmm. each beat and to match them, is so it's not a skip, or so you're not losing a beat, because that's where the term breakdancing comes from, mm-hmm. is dancing on the break beat. So, and that's where, to me, I wasn't there. So to me, that's where hip hop evolved from the DJ in the park and the MC over the mic in the DJ to the breakdancing, which the graffiti came, mm-hmm. and then the style of dress. And the thing that I always kind of, because I grew up in the late 90s, early 2000s, which I was born in 87, but like when I'm like learning shit,
right.
You know what I mean? Late 90s, early 2000s, hip hop to me was always preached as a lifestyle, not a music. You're not a type of music, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So a thing that, because I'm eclectic in my music preferences, I used to always say bump, slip, not live hip hop. And that was, that's basically who I am as a person, really, is because I get my influences from everywhere. But the lifestyle that I live, if it was had to be, you know,
linear,
put into a box,
right? Yeah,
it's a hip hop lifestyle. You know, I'm a graffiti artist. I'm an MC. I'm an all-around lover of music and hip-hop historian. You know what I mean? So, and it's the era that I grew up in and what I identified with. You know, my dad wanted me to be a cowboy. But I didn't grow up on a ranch, and country music has never been it for me. You know what I mean? So that low synth, those low vibrations, that's what makes my heart pump.
And, you know, I got it. It's funny because, you know, we were talking about the age difference between us. It was kind of similar, you know what I mean? I was just there for some of the earlier parts of it. Mm-hmm. So, like, I remember I was born here in Casper, even though I wasn't raised in Wyoming. So I left here when I was like 5. But I remember the very first time I heard a hip hop song was what the fuck is the name of that song?
Rapper's Delight.
Rapper's Delight. Thank you. That was the first rap song I heard. So I thought that was the first one. I was probably 6 years later when I found out, you know, there was a whole lot of other shit I had never heard before. But I still remember the first time I heard somebody scratch a record. It was Herbie Hancock on, it was the dance show. Man, my brain is just not with it today. Soul Train. Yeah.
Okay.
And I remember just seeing it when I was watching with my great grandma, and I was like, yo, that is so dope. And I remember, like, again, because I was born in the late 70s, 76, so by the 80s was when I was coming of age. So I grew up having my own record player, my own turntable in my house, you know what I mean? Which is in my room, you know what I mean? There was one in the living room, but I had a little bitty, my own little one, and like I had a bunch of Disney records and shit. And I remember scratching them, and for those that don't know, you can't use just a regular needle to scratch a record because it'll completely fuck it up. I messed up a lot of records as a kid. You know what I mean? My mom was like, you can't do that. You can't do that. So even though I was a break dancer, I could never do graffiti because I can't draw. I was a break dancer. I've been rapping since I was like 7, seriously since I was 12 when I first learned how to freestyle. And then I always wanted to be a DJ. I just couldn't afford it. So when I joined the military and I was in Japan, I ended up being on ship for like a month and a half. And you still get paid, but I had nothing to spend the money on. So I had met this DJ on an Air Force base right before I went on ship. And me and my boy were looking for a piano to show off for these girls because we'd written a song. And she was like, well, we don't have pianos. I was like, must be nice, Air Force fucking luckies. Like, we always had a broken, beat-down-ass fucking piano in all the Marine Corps barracks. But anyway, she was like, I got a couple friends. Maybe one of them has a keyboard. So we walked into the room, and dude was just getting down, doing doubles, you know what I mean? And I just started freestyling because it was dope what he was doing. And we didn't even introduce each other. I started going, and the harder I went, the harder he went. After like 5 minutes, he was like, yo, that was sick. I was like, yo, that was sick. He was like, well, I want to learn how to do what you're doing. I was like, I want to learn how to do what you're doing. He was like, yeah, everybody says that till they realize, you know what I'm saying?
What year was that?
It was 1996. I was in Okinawa, Japan.
So was you an MC at that point?
Yeah.
What was your name?
I was using Sub J, which was my initials, Sean Udell Bogus Jackson, Sub J. But my nickname was Nike. Like, that was the name I got in the military because of the way I went to the military. Everything I had on said Nike. So I was trying to get rid of that name. I tried so hard because it just didn't seem original to me. You know what I mean? And it didn't have any real meaning to it. And so after I met old boy, told him I wanted to DJ, ended up being on ship for a month. When I got off, I had like $3,000 saved, went out, bought myself some turntables, went to the Air Force base. I was like, all right, man, time to teach me. He was like, oh, shit, you're serious. So he put me under his wing. He'd been DJing for like 4 or 5 years. And then the very first show, he only knew me as Nike because that's what they introduced him as. And there's a reason for that. In the military, you end up with a fucking nickname whether you want one or not. But the other thing is, in Japan, they have a hard time saying SHs. So they can't say Sean. They say Sean. And they couldn't say Jackson. So they said Jackson. I was like, but everybody could say Nike. So I just ran with it. Well, after he started teaching me, when it was time to do my first gig, he put DJ Nike on all the flyers. And after that, I couldn't lose the name. So now y'all know how I became DJ Nike.
Now I know. I've been knowing.
What happened to Butterfingers?
I tried to. I told you that. You gonna put me on blast? All right. there was a term, it was an East Coast term in the mid 90s. It was like you, everything was like, how it was with John Blaze. We used to say, yo, that's butter. Everything was butter, smooth like butter. Mm-hmm. So when I really started getting into DJ, and after I left Japan and came to DC, I tried to change my name to Butterfingers. It didn't stick. I tried. It didn't work.
Yeah.
That was a hard thing for me. Two things. And I've told this story on my podcast before, how I started in rap, started in music. Like, I'd always been around. I've known Nike for 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, every party, you know, that him, SMK, all them, their shows, all that shit. I was there for all that shit, but I was just the homie. I was never, you know what I mean? Like, every once in a while, I get drunk and freestyle and shit like that. But it would never, I never wanted to be a rapper, right? I grew up, my best friend was a cold-ass freestyle artist. And when I got out of prison, I was going to drop off some medicine to my friend's house. And he made me sit down, and he was cruising through instrumentals, and he was asking me what I thought of him, and he landed on one. I was like, oh, that's tight, that's tight. And he's like, bet, boom, we're gonna write a song. I'm like, what you mean write a song? He's like, oh, the homies told me you got bars. And he might have just been fucking with me, he might not.
Right.
But at the same time, we wrote a song, and it literally, it just never stopped from then. That was in 2016,
right?
And yeah, here I still am. So I mean, I'm about to drop an album right now. This will be my eighth project.
Hell yeah.
So that, I got a video I'm about to drop. I got two ciphers that we're about to film and another video that I'm about to shoot. But more or less, like I said, I did not want to be a rapper at all. Like, even a little bit more. When I started doing it, it was like, oh, damn, I could do it like this. Like, you ever had a job where you're like, people are making money off this, I could go do this myself. Right. And it doesn't work out the way you thought. Well, music went like, I wanted to show people, look, if I can do this, I'm not even the rapper, but if I can do this, you could do this. Because I grew up with, you know, some musician homies, some rapper homies, whatever you want to call it. I grew up with some homies that I felt were talented and should have been using their talent you know, more productively. And so I did it as to show people, like, if I could do it, you could do it. And kind of everybody fell off, and I hate, and I'm not saying it as a hater. I mean, Nike's kind of seen it over the years.
Oh yeah,
like people move on, or they just quit altogether. Like, Nike's still doing radio. There's some cats that are still DJs. You know, there are, man, I can't. Do you know anybody from when you first started doing music that's still doing music, Nike? Or in Casper?
Yeah, like my man Attic. You know what I'm saying?
Addiction. Where is Attic?
He's back now.
Is he?
Yeah, he moved to Texas.
I just heard somebody say his name for the first time not that long ago. So yeah.
We're actually working on a new project too.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Shout out to Attic.
And then there's some other folks that have done shit that haven't stopped, but like, they left Casper, which honestly, yo, if you're going to get in, if you're serious about doing it, like for me, I always wanted it, but it was my escape. You know what I mean? I've always made more, I'll say this, I've always made more DJing than I ever made rapping,
right?
Period.
Right.
But I still love to do rap. Like, it's my escape. But like, Aquil and Chalk, you know what I mean? Them moving, Task, him moving and coming back, you know, there's a lot of people that are still doing it.
I just seen him, Lucchese. Yeah. I just seen him, and is he still doing music?
I know he's still making beats. I don't know if he's still rapping.
Okay. And I know Aquil's still doing his thing, but that's what I mean. Like, as far as like actually getting behind a mic and putting out projects from when you first started in the town of Casper, that's still here doing it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, other than Attic, nah. You know what I mean? Virus is still doing shit too, but he moved.
He's not here. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. Most people that are still doing.
So it, honorable mention to all the cats who did leave and are still doing it. I'm not trying to throw no shade at you. You know, a lot of them cats I'm cool with. The ones I'm not cool with, I don't care to talk about you, so we'll just keep pushing.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So I actually literally just left, booked a venue date. So now that we're talking about it, this is the first actual speaking of it. We just booked a date for May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
Yes, sir.
For Rapper's Delight, the event. We're bringing it back. We're rebranding it. We're going to change up the format, but not too much, so that way people don't get too confused by it. Like, I tried to hand it off to a couple different people that wanted to take what we was doing and make it theirs, and it kind of never stuck. So I'm going to bring it back to a format that people are similar with.
Right.
But there's a lot more artists that have popped because we quit 2 years ago, and we was doing it every month for 4 years.
Yeah, I remember.
And so we quit because COVID kind of ruined us.
Mikey did a lot of things.
Yeah. So we're trying to bring that back. Not trying. We're going to bring it back.
There you go.
So anybody who's listening to this, if you're an MC, if you're watching right now on Facebook Live, May the 4th is the official date. Get with me. Get with White with a Sprite. We're booking for the event. We got our headliners and our openers booked. I'm waiting for the flyer to announce that. But yeah, anyway, the point of me saying all that was, when I started this, I didn't want to be a rapper. I wanted to be the guy who helped everybody. I wanted to be the music plug, right?
Yeah.
I grew up.
Go ahead.
Not grew up. I came up being the plug. So when I move away from that, I wanted to be a plug in a different way. And it was through this music shit. So what I was trying to do was get everybody an opportunity to get on stage. You know, if you don't, because the way we run our format is nowadays, everybody knows that hip hop's evolved. There's not a whole lot of freestyle battles no more. Because the art of off the top is kind of a dead art. You know, there are people who can still do it, but back in the day, that was a requirement.
And it's not now.
Not at
it's
all.
It's definitely not. Yeah, freestyle not doesn't even mean the same thing
no.
in hip hop anymore.
No. But anyway, so artists who have at least 3 to 4 songs, they come and they perform their song versus another artist's song. The crowd chooses the winner, you know, kind of like 8 Mile style.
Right.
But so it's giving cats a chance to get on stage and practice their stagecraft, a chance to get on stage and get exposure, a chance to get out there. If you got merch, there's areas to sell your merch, you know, for branding and marketing.
Right.
And on top of that, there's 10 or more artists at every single show. So it's the ultimate networking experience. Like through the 4 years that we did Rapper's Delight, we built such a community here. I didn't know there was that many rappers here. And now there's, look, this is what I just rattled off the top of my head the other day. And me and Nate were talking about artists. This is just Casper artists. Osh, Eros, White with a Sprite, Zay the Prophet, DJ Nike, Dante, Faye, Mosaic, J. Cruz, Official JD, Glenn, Zach. The homegirl Cassie, the Mighty Q. That's just Casper artists.
Right.
That's just off the top of my head.
And, you know, and I just thought of this while you were going through that. There are two folks that were just about doing it since I've moved here that are still doing it. And that's Doc Seuss and Alphamatic.
Oh, okay. Are they still making music?
Yeah.
Alphamatic, he's been doing a lot on TikTok lately. Mm-hmm. We got to get him on for one of these.
Oh, we'll definitely do that.
I seen Off-matic. I seen the last time I did anything music related with Cody was like 2 years ago. It was a New Year's show that he did, and I performed at. That was so. Like I said, Rapper's Delight has died out, bro. Like the murmur in the scene has kind of died down. You know what I mean? Like I have the Ghost Town Hip Hop page, and there's not a lot of engagement on it, but it's got a lot of followers. You know what I mean? So
there's one thing I want to, and I'm glad you're doing this. You know what I mean? Because it was. It wasn't an official passing the torch, but it was you picking it up. Cause like I had a chance to be part of two big hip hop movements at different decades of being here. SMK, that one was a big one, and everybody that was involved in that one. And then what shit was going on with No Goodies. But the one thing that I have noticed that other cities, even in Wyoming, do better than us is stick together. Like, you know what I mean? There were so many dudes in Cheyenne, and I did, you know, do some shit with them, but I never saw Cheyenne rap artists beefing with each other. You know what I mean? They were always...
Oh, speaking of beef, we got to talk about something here after this.
All right. But yeah, they always uplifted each other and doing shit together. And hip-hop is always going to be a...
A controversial, competitive.
Competitive, yeah.
There you go.
But it can be competitive without having that hate aspect. And I think that was one of the things that kept it from getting bigger in Casper. So props to you for what you've been doing to bring it back to the light and make it positive. That I love that, you know?
So, and that was the thing, too, about Rapper's Delight. Like, not everybody's always going to like everybody, right? But I am... I can't think of one artist during the time that I was doing that event that I hadn't reached out to, whether I liked them or not, whether I liked their music right. or not. Not one person. I reached out to you multiple times to come DJ. All the, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted it to be a community thing. I don't want there to be the division. And actually, the thing that did that to me was like what you was just saying. I was watching something on YouTube one day, and it was saying why Atlanta's took over the rap scene over the last like 10 years is because all their DJs and all their artists help promote each other, mm-hmm. period.
Facts.
They all put each other on shows. They all help each other. They all get on collabs with each other, and they all boost each other up. You know what I mean? So
that's how podcasts, especially in the comedy scene, do really well, is like all the comedians and everything, they're building each other up. They're going on each other's podcasts.
Yeah.
And it all works in because comedy in back in the day was much different. Like, it was a really competitive thing. Right. It was a dog-eat-dog thing. It was like, oh, why's he got a fucking sitcom? I don't got a fucking sitcom. Right. He's not as good as me. You know what I'm saying? And so that all changed here within, like, probably the past 10 years with all these different podcasts.
And COVID, you know what I'm saying, definitely dealt. Like, that's when podcasting made its bigger step. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, my bad.
Well, that was basically it. It's just like, to lend to his point, that just like working together and not having, like, it's okay to compete. Like, competition.
Well, it's the community aspect.
Right. When you build a fucking community around each other, it's okay to like compete. That's how you get better, or you know what I mean? But to be overly competitive and not, but that only weakens everyone.
I wouldn't even say overly competitive. I think it just doesn't need to turn into beef. There's a difference between competing, you know what I mean? Like, on taking it to a bigger scale, like, you remember when T.I. said he was the king?
Mm-hmm.
And
Lil Flip Trip?
Yeah. And then there were a whole bunch of other people, a boy from UGK that passed away.
Pimp C.
Like, there were a whole lot of other Atlanta artists that was like, no, he wasn't saying that we, you know what I mean, that he was the one and sole king. He was like, we're all kings, and he was bigging everybody up. And I think, you know what I mean, you can compete without trying to tear other people down. You know what I mean?
See, and here's the thing, too.
That's the difference. Competition is one thing, but when you're being a hater.
Crabs in a barrel.
Right. Yeah. When you, it's like a famine mentality. There's not enough to go around.
Yeah.
Right. That's when it's not helpful to anybody. Yeah. Especially for you, because you're wasting energy on being a hater instead of pointing that energy towards perfecting your craft.
So yeah. I just shared this thing to the Ghost Town Hip Hop page the other day, and it was Rifleman. He was saying he has never been of the mind frame of what he's doing or what his people around him are doing is the best. Because when you do that, you're limiting yourself, right? Mm-hmm. It's like this. Everybody loves steak, right? Steak's amazing. Everybody would love to have steak for dinner tonight, but nobody wants steak for dinner every single night.
Right, right.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely not.
So music is the same. Everything, there needs to be, and that's what I tell everybody with the Rapper's Delight events, people are like, oh, you put him on. I'm like, bro, you might not like him, but certain people do fuck with him. Mm-hmm. And there also needs to be that array of artists. There needs to be my favorite or the best lyricist to me ever is Eminem. The worst lyricist ever to me is Lil Pump. However, there needs to be that Eminem to Lil Pump array of artists and everything in between. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it such a beautiful thing. You know what I mean? There's not only to my favorite artist is Michelangelo painting in the Sistine Chapel and all this shit. I'm not a fan of Picasso. However, you ain't going to be able to tell, you know, no real art fanatic that shit that Picasso sucks ass. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because they're going to have their own argument for that.
Right. Yo,
hold up one sec.
Go ahead.
Eric Peterson in the chat. He says, my guy.
EP, my dog.
My guy Osha's the truth. For real. Shout out, Eric.
It's my dog, EP. Hey, go check out EP on everything. Scatterbrain Productions on his YouTube channel. They make the best music videos in the whole state of Wyoming, hands down. Ain't no competition.
Yeah, they do ill work. Props.
What else? Is that it?
No, I, what I was going to say, I actually forgot. What were we talking about? Oh, when you were talking about like the comparing the artwork, like I always do that with, like with comic book artists. I'm a big Rob Liefeld fan, and whenever I tell motherfuckers that, they're always like, he can't draw feet. He's the one that created Deadpool, Cable, Domino, and shit like that. And he was him and Jim Lee, like ran the early 90s. But now, you know what I'm saying? I see so many people online giving it to him. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, I don't understand how you can. A lot of times I think people have a voice that shouldn't. And that even goes with hip hop too. Like, I know everybody's not going to like everything, but, and this brings me to something that I wanted to bring up. Have you guys all heard the new Future and Metro Boomin song that features
Kendrick?
Kendrick?
Yeah. I couldn't find the diss in it, bro. I could pick out the bar, but there was nothing direct enough for me to say that that is like what they're making it out to be.
Yeah, it was, and for one, lyrically, like, I love Kendrick, but like, you remember when he dropped his Control verse?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I remember everybody in New York came at him, you know what I'm saying, for that. This was not that. This was him, you know, he had a bar, you know what I mean?
I
didn't think it was.
As a fan of Kendrick, it wasn't mind-blowing to me, the verse, the diss, if that's what it was.
Yeah.
I love Kendrick. I just hope that that's not what he's doing with his career at this stage in his career. Nah. I just hope that. And if he is doing that, I wish he would do it better.
There we go.
Have you heard it yet? Like Schoolboy's album?
I haven't, no.
Did you hear Schoolboy's new album?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I gave it a 5 overall. It was not my favorite.
5 out of 10. Okay. Ugh. I might give it a 4, bro. I really only felt like 3 songs. And to take it back, before that, Crash Talk, the album he dropped before this,
right,
which was like 4 years ago,
yeah,
was my favorite Schoolboy album. I love every single song. I have it autographed. Love that album. Yeah. I love Schoolboy. This one came out. I was anticipating it. Not a fan of it. But
yeah, what has TDE been doing? You know what I'm saying? Their whole yeah, there was a time when they were just on everything.
They were the best. Yeah. Them in Dreamville. Yeah. And yeah, I think it's always done this, but hip hop is at a
crossroads.
There you go. It's evolving. Cause I remember I was confused about what hip hop was doing in the early 2000s, right? Like the 50 Cent era, the Lil Jon era, Dipset. Around that, it was like a lot of pivotal shit changing,
yeah,
you know, from the 90s.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of sounds changing, the instrumentals changing, a lot of newer artists. Like I remember, I think, what was it, 2000, Missy Elliott blew up real big. Luda came out. Nelly came out.
I'd say late 90s, but all right.
But, so yeah, that was like the beginning of that. So then by the time we hit like 02, 03, it was kind of in a weird influx, because like the biggest artist then was like 50 Cent, and then Lil Jon and them came out. But then once Lil Wayne like took a firm hold in like the end of 04 and solid 05, it was just like whatever Wayne's sound was what mainstream hip-hop tended to be for,
yeah, because that's when Future time came out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and Future too. And you know the thing, that when hip-hop was evolved, like the 2010s, I was a hater. I really was.
Same.
From what it was changing to then to what it is now, I was a super hater. But a lot of them, the pivotal artists from that era, I love now. I love Future.
I won't go as far as love, you know what I'm saying? But I fuck with a lot of his shit, you know what I mean? Like, Mask Off was my shit.
Yeah,
And a matter of fact, that one came out when I fractured my knee playing softball. So, like, that was my theme song for the summer, because that was all I was doing was Percocet.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Oh.
But they were prescribed. They were legal. But yeah, I had to learn. And again, I'm older too. So for somebody that's a Wu-Tang fan above all, I really didn't like the step away from lyrics. You know what I mean? And again, there are still plenty of guys out there. Like, my favorite rapper right now is Crooked Eye. And this is the first time.
He's been in the game for a long time.
But it's crazy. This is the first time where a West Coast artist has been my favorite rapper.
Ever?
Ever. Literally ever. It's always been somebody from New York or Chicago. You know what I mean? Like, my entire time.
Who's ever been your favorite rapper from Chicago?
It was Twista for a while, back when he was Tongue Twista, so way back in the day. And also Common, man. I really fuck with Common, especially after he did the Bitchin' You, one of my favorite beef tracks against Ice Cube, because I love Cube, and I was like, damn, Like, I didn't think he had it in him. You know what I mean? So, but it's mostly been New York artists for me. And it was just because they were more lyrical and it was a little bit more thought processing. Like, I tell people all the time that don't know hip hop when I'm trying to explain the difference between rap music and actual lyricism. Anybody can say, I've got a dope car, I fuck a dime bitch, I've got a lot of jewelry, I've got a lot of money. It's how you can say it if you're using metaphors, similes, syllable flows. That, you know what I mean? That's what speaks to me. Like, the whole shit for me back when we had tape decks was if a motherfucker said something and I wanted to hit rewind. Like, whoa, what the fuck did that motherfucker just say? And that's one of the things that I think is gone in a lot of hip-hop now, but it's also more mainstream now. There's a lot of white America, and when I say white America, I even mean, like, women. You know what I mean? Hip-hop wasn't originally made for women, especially not white women. Now they're the ones that are purchasing the most of it.
You look at, like, the origins of hip-hop and back to, like, the five percenters and shit, that's... Mm-hmm. Absolutely not geared toward Midwest white women
at all.
Not even a little bit. So that's what everybody who says word, and people are like, oh, word.
I still say that.
Like, oh, man. Oh, yeah. Like, especially when white people say, and it's no hate. I love white people. My daughter's white. Like, no hate. However, saying that and not knowing the origin of it to me is kind of funny. It's funny.
I see that a lot, and it, like, I've been
that happens with all kinds of different.
It does, but it's kind of funny and hip, especially here in Casper. For one, because I think the internet has made it better, so we're not as far behind as we used to be. Like, when I first moved back, again, I was born here, but I wasn't raised here. I was gone for 20 years. So when I first moved back in 2001, 2002, it was like a time machine. Everything was 6 to 9 months behind the rest of the world. It was like, yo, are these mountains really keeping everything out of Casper? Shit that was already old, like, from music to clothing styles, was way late coming here. You know what I mean? And then as the internet became more prominent, like, by the time I moved here, everybody had a computer. But, you know what I mean, social media, different things that have come by have made it so everyone can get
everything.
We can
stay up to the times.
Yeah, stay up to date. But it was, we were so far behind.
Yo, real quick, got Lennox Silva in the chat. He said,
Len Dog.
He said, shout me out, Osh.
Len Dog, what's good? That's a little, that's my son's homie, Lennox. That's funny he's on here.
Heck yeah.
If you're in the chat right now, drop us your favorite rapper in the comments real quick.
And which brings me
like
to a question.
Like and share this live so we can get out there.
I definitely wanted to know who. Well, we know yours is Wayne. Is that your favorite all time?
No, he's not my. He's all time. No, my favorite fluctuates. It really does.
So does mine.
Through what I'm going through in my life, but my best rapper of all time and my favorite rapper of all time lists are two different things. Remember we did that on the on our podcast, mm-hmm. On my podcast a long time ago. So those are two different things for me: favorite and best of all time. Like, my favorite basketball player of all time is LeBron James.
That's
it's debatable whether
those
he's
are,
the GOAT or not.
Those are,
you know,
different conversations.
Yeah. But
for
favorite
sure.
And best, there's could always be synonymous, bro. Like, someone's favorite actor might be Vin Diesel. I don't think anybody ever anywhere is ever gonna say he's the best actor of anything.
Facts.
You know what I mean? My daughter will out-act him in her third grade play.
Yeah, but he could be your favorite. Those are two different.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Your both... favorite and the best are two different.
All
things.
All right, so let's do that real quick. Who's your favorite?
Right now, I'm probably listening
Before we do that, I mean, it could be your favorite right now. But then also you could have your favorite
all time
of all time, or like,
okay. My favorite right now is fucking 21 Savage. My favorite all time is Tech N9ne.
All right.
The best all time to me is Lil Wayne.
All right. So for me, my favorite right now is Crooked Eye. My favorite all around, I'd probably say, is Method Man.
All right. In the chat.
And the GOAT for me, I'd probably have to say Big L. Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace, Big L. Eric says in the chat, Tech N9ne is the most inspirational, but Lil Wayne inspired a whole generation. That's
what
that's
we've
facts.
Been saying.
That's
Tech N9ne actually inspired a lot of rappers.
Facts.
Bro, nowadays, and it was just here recently in the last couple years through all these interviews that a lot of artists are coming out saying, bro, in the late 90s, early 2000s, Tech put me up on merch game. He put me up on the independent game. Mm-hmm. He put me up on this.
And not only that, he's a strongly business-minded dude. Like,
see, that's what a lot of the rappers give him props for.
He's much richer than you think he is.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of the rappers give him props for, is that. And not only that, and his stage game. Because it's a little bit different now. Obviously, the motherfucker's 50-something years old or some shit like that. It's obviously different than it was early 2000s. Man, anybody, whether you like Tech N9ne or not, early 2000s Tech N9ne was unfuckwithable on the stage. His stage show was second to none.
That first album, and by the way,
he's been around since the early 90s.
Well, not Angelic, but not, I guess not his first, but
you're talking about the Absolute Power era.
Absolute Power,
Spiked red hair era.
That's when it fucking blew up here in Casper.
Well, that's when he started his fan base grew exponentially again. As someone that grew up with 90s hip hop, I was an adult in 95. You know what I mean? I remember when Tech was doing shit with the Wu-Tang,
the Wake Up Show.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like he was still that dude then. You know what I mean?
He was a Wake Up Show artist on King Tech and Sway like the mid 90s.
Yep, Sway and Tech and DJ Revolution. Yep. Like, I still have those mixtapes on tape. You know what I mean? So
So Tech,
I was fucking
Tech's
with
been
him
doing
way
it.
Back then. You know what I mean? Because he's not that much older than me. He might have me beat by like a nickel, but I don't think he's even like 10 years older than me. But
when he did West Coast Choppers and then fucking Worldwide
Midwest. Midwest Choppers.
Was it Midwest?
Midwest.
I thought it was.
No, West Coast Choppers is a show.
And even fair enough. Shockingly enough, it's in New York City.
But
I was just watching Rifleman go in on Tech N9ne the other day on how the term chopper with being associated with that kind of rap came from the West Coast. And Tech N9ne, his rap career, he came up on the West Coast. He was signed to QD3. So Rifleman was saying that Tech N9ne bit the term chopper from the West Coast, made it a Midwest thing, and that's where it blew up. Because to me, that is chopper rap is synonymous to me with the Midwest.
And there were a lot of different people that were doing it after him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had a Crucial Conflict. You know what I mean? I would even say, I'm trying to think. There was a lot of Midwest artists, you know what I mean, that started doing it.
And now, like, King Iso's real big. Twisted Insane's real big. Mm-hmm. And those dudes, they're insane. They make Tech N9ne look like he's slow. You know what I mean? But, that's one thing I see in the Rifleman interview. He was kind of butthurt about that, you could tell. He didn't even call him Tech N9ne. He just kept saying, that Kansas City guy. He kept calling him that.
But, yo, here's one. I always crack up when shit gets down to that. You know what I mean, too? Because I remember before Jay blew up, Jay-Z, mm-hmm. Sean Corey Carter, he used to rap fast.
That's what they said, yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're talking, like, 89, 90. You
Man,
know what
but
I, mean?
I think Big L rapped faster than Jay-Z and Big Pun, too.
Well, yeah, but, like, he learned from Big L. You know what I mean? Like, he was already rapping, but him, like, he got a lot of shit from Big L, you know what I mean?
I would have never thought of Jay-Z as a fast rapper in any kind of.
But that was he started. Like, if you go,
I mean,
back
compared to a lot of New York artists when he came up, for sure.
But you know what I mean? So anytime people start talking about, you know, this started here, that'd be like somebody getting mad because, you know what I mean? Like, the originators got mad that it left New York City. You know what I mean? It's still rap. And this is where we start talking about that competitive thing. Like, all right. You know what I mean?
Like the East and West Coast beef back in the day.
Oh, man. And, yo, being alive for that was crazy because I was part of it. You know what I mean? That was one of the reasons why I still like some West Coast artists. Like, I fucked with the whole Hieroglyphics crew, Souls of Mischief. I was still an NWA fan. I love Snoop because Snoop used to actually, when Snoop first came up, when Doggy Style came out, he would go on TV shows and actually freestyle off the top of the dome. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which was rare for a West Coast cat to do that back then.
So I would say my.
Since you didn't give your three.
I would say my greatest of all time, or one of my, he's at the top, would be Snoop. I mean, because the first cassette tape I had, I was in like fourth or fifth grade, was Doggy Style, and that was my introduction to hip-hop alongside like Wu-Tang, mm-hmm. and even like Coolio and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but
you remember watching Gangster's Paradise on that, I don't remember what award show it was, but it was a big fucking deal, and Crossroads, Bone Thugs, I don't remember what award show that was, but anyway, my bad, Mike.
Right now, my favorite rapper, and I think he's super underrated, is Tara Reid. Have you heard Tara Reid?
Yeah, I like his that beats dude, a lot. He's tight, but I like his beats a lot.
He does all his shit by himself. He makes all his own beats, writes so all his shit. So, I mean, I think he's super underrated and doesn't get talked about enough. So, if you're watching right now, go check out some Tara Reid. I mean, you will be impressed.
Yeah,
if
he's
not,
pretty tight.
Yeah. Okay, so on that topic, let's talk about most underrated rapper right now, Osh.
You were talking about like ever mainstream famous?
Whatever you think, just whatever.
I 2 years ago I would have said Tech N9ne, but now he's starting to get a lot of that shine. A lot, like I said, through a lot of these interviews, a lot of the other major artists.
And he said even after he was on, what was it, Carter 5?
Yeah.
He said, wait, like just the exposure of being, of getting Wayne's fans. You know what I'm saying?
That's my favorite Carter.
Overall, it's my favorite. 2 was my favorite.
2 is the most iconic to
me. Oh, my goodness. Yo.
That's the one that holds a spot in my heart. Yes. But overall, song for song, 4 is my favorite.
Definitely 4.
For sure.
Yeah.
But anyways, what was the question? I forgot.
Overrated. Just underrated.
Underrated. Big L. A lot of people have only heard of him in name.
He's a rapper's rapper.
Yeah.
Right. So all like anybody who's a rapper, like the guys that are in the know, they're all gonna give Big L his props.
He died way before his time, so he didn't have the body of work like that, but underrated for sure because he was looked up to a lot for the lyricist community. You
oh,
know
yeah.
what I mean? Like he was untouchable at the time, and he got to leave before anybody got to see, you know, we didn't even get to see him peak, and we got to see him with greatness. So
yeah.
We never got even close to a downfall. So that's why I think he's in lyricist circles held to that high of a regard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he influenced two of my all-time favorite rappers, Cam'ron. He was part of Children of the Corn with Cam'ron and Mace, and Bloodshed, who also passed away. R.I.P. And Jay-Z, you know what I mean? So two of my all-time, to me, Jay-Z is the pinnacle of hip-hop, and this is as far as not just skill level, body of work, but what he's able to accomplish. Jay-Z was the first billionaire, you know what I mean? Like a lot of people say it was Dr. Dre.
But that wasn't just for music, though.
No, it wasn't.
See, and that's why I don't put Jay-Z over Wayne.
But like I said, this is just as an entrepreneur what he was able to do. Like that, his entire vision. Like I strive to be Jay-Z, not just on a lyrical, just on a business
in a
aspect.
Business sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was throwing no shade at Dre because Dre is a genius too. But when they say wasn't he the first billionaire? Like technically no, because when he sold Beats by Dre to Apple, it was like $1.6 billion, but it was split 50-50 with Jimmy Iovine. Mm-hmm. So it was like 8.9. It was almost $1 billion, but not quite. But regardless. And then the crazy shit is, also, if you're successful and you're able to big up your entire crew, like there was a point where Kanye actually made more money than him before he fucked it up with all his racist comments. You know what I mean? Kanye was making more than him. Rihanna was making more than him. LeBron was signed to him. You know what I mean? The sports aspect. Like, everybody he put on was successful.
He owned the Nets. Yeah. He owns multiple skyscrapers in New York. Like, we know that ain't no fucking cheap shit to own a whole entire ass building.
Yeah.
And to be a black man and be a sports team owner.
And he's also heavily associated. He's a consultant for the NFL also.
Yeah.
So.
Every artist that goes through that performs at the Super Bowl for like the last 5 years and for the future has to go through. Jay-Z's the one that picks those, and you know what I mean? That's crazy.
Huh. So sorry, Oakley MAGA hat guy. You're going to be upset with the next few Super Bowls.
Right.
But anyway, so.
All right, hold up. Eric's saying in the chat, the game's got to be talked about.
I love the game.
It's one of the most underrated games. In his opinion.
He is extremely underrated. That's a good point, EP. For real, Game is extremely underrated. To me,
he's like the West Coast Nas.
He's to me, he's more like the West Coast Wayne. Or like 2 Chainz. Because literally those three rappers that his name, Wayne, Game, 2 Chainz, every single bar is a fucking metaphor. Every single bar is a metaphor. They don't slack
and lately,
any bars.
Lately,
ever.
I've been seeing him on some podcasts. And the way he just talks about life, like philosophically, he's very smart. Like he's much smarter than I think people would give him credit for. Like
his problem has never been his mind. It was some of the beefs he got into. You know what I mean?
Basically, like 50 Cent. The reason why people he just hasn't 50's accomplished.
50's fucking hilarious.
If Game had accomplished as much in business as 50, people would look at Game exactly the same as they
Facts.
Look at 50.
That's fair. 50's fucking hilarious. And, so.
But beyond
like some of the shit he says, like when he was beefing with Floyd.
I love when he's beefing with anyone. He's going in on Diddy right now. He's going in on Diddy.
Oh,
right
I
now.
Saw the fucking meme he posted. It was
as
him
Riddler.
Wearing the Riddler.
Yeah,
outfit.
He's the king of hip hop trolling.
But it said
he's literally the king.
It
of
said the diddler.
Yeah. But yo, Game. I think like Game was one of the West Coast artists too that got love in New York City. You know what I'm saying?
But it was
even
because
of
his lyricism.
Yeah.
That's why. And not only that, because he gave hella praise to like Nas, Jay-Z, mm-hmm. Dipset, cats like that. You know what I mean? Like the first time I actually ever heard a Game was on a song he did with Jim Jones.
Right.
What is it? Certified Gangster.
Yep, yep.
That's the first Game song I ever heard, and it was with Jim Jones. So I think that's why a lot of East Coast cats fucked with him, but that was a good one, EP. Game is extremely, extremely, extremely underrated.
Yes.
Even his albums, he's still dropping. Somebody was just talking shit on him the other day, and I was like, you know what? I haven't listened to no Game albums in a couple years, and I just went right then and started listening to it like, oh, this fool still got it. This
yeah.
shit's sick.
Yeah, I went back and had to put you on the Game, like in my top tracks of all. Like I forgot how hard that shit banged. Like somebody shared a snippet of it on Instagram, and that was on his first album. I was like, oh, that used to be my favorite. Boom, you know what I mean? Like Game is. I love Game. You know, what I mean?
I forget what that song is.
Yo,
talk about. He's not the black Eminem or whatever. It was like a long time. I think a Jesus Peace era.
Right.
He's doing the chainsaw, ring, ring, ring.
Yeah, yes,
that,
yes.
That one, that's
yes.
like one of my favorite Game tracks
yes.
ever. He went so fucking hard in that shit.
Yo, we got Finbar Jenkins in the chat.
Yo, Eros,
that's
my dog.
Man, Eros.
He said Quick is hella underrated.
Quick? Yeah.
DJ Quick?
Hey, my homie City, my big bro City, that's his favorite rapper ever. And the homie City, he's from Washington, so like... Of all time, Quick is his favorite rapper, so he always kept me like so I would never slack on Quick. Shout out to Quick. Shout out to Eros, my dog.
Yes.
Yo, everybody in the comments, go ahead and share.
Shout
this.
Out to Compton Eros with that DJ Quick reference.
You know what I mean?
Yo, go ahead and share this live. Get it out there. Hit it. Give us a like and then follow the page as well.
Hey, again, everybody watching, you guys, make sure to stay tuned. May the 4th be with you. Rapper's Delight coming back. Similar format, all the artists
at the Eagles,
ready.
Right?
At the Eagles, they redid the Eagles. I just was in there. They took down all the pictures of all the old ass people, repainted all the walls.
Right.
It looks a lot better, a lot more open. So I'm excited to get on that stage again. It was like watching Little White with a Sprite standing in front of that stage. It was like
Little White
pulling on my heart feelers. Yeah, that's the first stage that Nate got on.
Right.
It was one of our first events, and that was however many.
Little White
ago,
was
so.
Huge there for a while.
No, White with a Sprite, not
nah,
Little
no,
White.
I thought you said Little White.
No, I said
that
Lil
guy was
White
fucking. That guy was funny. Though.
I love Little White, bro. In what grade was I in? 10th grade. The Doubt Me Now album, bro.
Yeah,
every
that shit's
dope. Single song, bro, except for Oxycontin, because everybody loved that song too much. That's the one I never played. So, but every song.
You're
going to
be that guy?
That one, I am that guy. Any song that's ever been played on a radio on any of my favorite rappers' albums, bro, I will never listen to it.
Yo, let's...
Hypnotize won't fucking listen to it. Juicy won't listen to
you
it.
You know
no,
what?
Any of that shit.
I never, like, I spin those, you know what I mean? And I even play them from my old school show. I never liked the beat for Hypnotized or Juicy. Big Papa, love that one. Fucking, what was the other one?
Had my favorite was the what?
Oh, that's the one with him and Meth.
Yep. And then Ready to Die Who the fuck is this? Paging me at 5:46 in the morning. Crack a dawn and now I'm yawning.
That's
those
the
are
warning.
My top three.
The warning.
The warning. Those are my top three Biggie songs ever.
Oh,
those.
Shit. What is the, what, it's the one with the chicks, not Big Papa, the other one. Fuck.
Oh, Biggie, give me one more chance. No.
Yes, but the remix version of that one. Fuck. It's gonna kill me.
That's one of my road trip albums.
Yeah, one more chance. But the like the remix version, because the beat is better on the remix version.
That's one of my road trip albums. The one where you don't like, damn, what can I listen to where I'm not gonna have to skip all the way through it? Ready to Die, Illmatic, Bone Thugs, Eternal 99, 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying. Those are ones where if I skip any, it's only the radio hits.
All right, hold up. What about DMX?
Yo, DMX is definitely slept on. To me, I thought every other album of his was.
I don't feel like
dope.
DMX is underrated, though. Are you just saying him?
No,
overall,
no, I'm just
or?
Like. I guess we are still on. Did you give your?
Yeah,
most,
I gave my.
Most underrated?
Yeah, I gave
bro, it. I feel okay. like DMX and not. I feel like DMX gets the proper amount of love. I love DMX. I feel Touché. Like everybody loves DMX.
Yeah.
And even with all the terrible shit that people could say about DMX,
yeah, I wouldn't
they
say,
don't.
I wouldn't say he's underrated. I was just.
Yeah, I was talking more about his albums. You know what I'm saying? Like for because he was the first, talking about breaking records, he was the first rap artist to drop two albums in the same year to both go platinum. His first album dropped in like January. His second one dropped in December. And they both went platinum like immediately. Jay-Z hadn't even done that at that point in time. That was in fucking sane.
DMX is Rick Bliss's favorite rapper. Shout out Rick Bliss.
Word up. Yo, what's he up to, man?
He's just dadding. He's doing good. I seen him a couple days ago.
Yo, Chet, give us who your most underrated rapper is in the comments. Go ahead.
Because you're talking about being a parent, I think that has been another thing that has kept some of the hip-hoppers, local hip-hoppers, it happens. You grow up and you end up with more responsibilities, you know what I mean? Because like my man Joe Rogie, you know what I'm saying, Jay Dolla, he still spits, he's still nice, but he's got two kids, you know what I mean? When you've got a family, you've got to work, if you got a wife and shit like that, like it's a...
Yeah, adulting takes up a lot of time.
Here's the one thing that I always tell all young artists who are trying to be serious about it, don't have a girlfriend.
Yeah,
seriously, and not I'm not saying don't fall in love or don't do none of that, but here's the thing that I have noticed. When I first started doing music, I was with my daughter's mom. It was a lot harder to do because all the shit you're talking about. Yep. You know what I mean? Now I have my daughter full-time. I'm a full-time parent now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And with a full-time single parent, but due to time management and not having to commit that time to another person other right. than my kids, mm-hmm. I do, because I hate when people use the parent excuse. Like, I really do, because I'm a parent. I take care of my daughter full time. I have my son half the time. And I do every fucking thing that I have the means to do in this music shit. And it's because that's what I want to do. And to me, really, like I said, it was never even to be a rapper. It was to keep the scene alive.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I get it, but at the same time, to me, it's an excuse. Cause if that's what you want, then that's what you'll do. You know, people can find the time to get drunk every day, write a fucking song. You know, people could find the time
True.
To fucking,
but yo,
what else are you going to do? Sit there and scroll through TikTok.
But yo, here's my, other
I mean,
thing.
Everybody's
binge
got,
watch TV.
Everybody's got an excuse. If you love something, you're going to make time.
Here's my point. There's certain things you can still write. You know what I mean? Like Rogie's still writing, but he doesn't necessarily have a studio. You know what I mean? Like it's a little bit harder depending, and I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it's harder. I have a studio at my house, so I can still do it. You
Same.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't always have the means to do that, especially with me having four kids out of wedlock and four different mothers. You know what I mean? I took care of my kids first. You know what I mean? So everything else, you know what I mean?
Well, that's the way it should be.
But that's what I'm saying.
Like, but so, here's the thing.
But that doesn't mean you can't have time for your passion. And if you really are passionate, you're going to make time.
That's what. So here's the thing, too. This is the number two, not the number two. This is the number one thing that I tell them before the boyfriend, girlfriend thing. Perspective is everything, and the number one thing that everybody is going to see, whether your music's trash, whether your music's good, is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to say, oh, this cat's always doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I had a government job. I was a housing inspector for fucking 8 years. I had a fucking nice house, and people who didn't know that I had a normal job only knew me through music. They would walk in my house and be like, God, bro, from music? But that's because of perspective. They only knew me mm-hmm. through social media and seen me doing all these shows, mm-hmm. seen me dropping all these videos. But it's through consistency. So it's hard to be consistent when your time's taken up with other shit. But what Nike was talking about, Jay Dolla, if you need a fucking studio, dog, hit me. For real. I don't want to hear no excuses with people, because we need to have the scene, bro.
Facts.
We can't. It's there's so many artists that never even got to see their potential because they, and it's very common with musicians and artists of any genre, is they, they're, what's the word, where you don't come out?
You don't
reclusive.
The
they're reclusive. Oh. You know what I mean? They're yeah.
Like M. M. He's probably the biggest known hip hop recluse in the world. Like, unless he's doing a show somewhere.
Yeah, you don't see
but
him.
But when
you
you're doing it him. Locally in Casper and you're reclusive, it's a lot different because Eminem has the means to go to a studio at any point. You know what I
he's
mean?
He's got a studio in his house. He don't even got to leave.
No, he doesn't.
But that's basically, I mean, that's my mentality as far as doing the podcast is consistency. We do this shit every week. Put out a new episode every week. We even if we don't have an idea for what we're gonna fucking talk about on an episode, I mean, we miss a week here or there just because somebody like we can't like we got shit going on or whatever. But we always get in here and make sure we're doing something,
right?
And getting something out there. I mean, it's just like you said about writing. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna sit there and scroll through TikTok and do something meaningless? Or are you going to, like, even if you're not going to use what you wrote, it's still an exercise
of
the mind,
fucking
right?
Yeah, definitely.
It's an exercise of your mind.
Mental
your
work, reps.
Right. And it is all about reps because you're only going to get better if you keep
doing it
well.
Yeah. LL. Yo, that back in the day. He was my goat.
Bro, Bad is probably one of my favorite hip-hop songs of all time. Ever,
that,
bro.
That whole fucking album was
that,
one of my favorites.
The energy off that song, bro, that shit gets me so pumped. And that's like my least favorite era of hip-hop.
Right.
Lyrically, that's my least favorite era of hip-hop.
Because it was a bunch of ABC shit. Yeah, like, but that was before, excuse me, before Rakim and KRS-One.
They was using a lot of big words. LL was using a lot of big words. Rakim was using a lot of big words. But Rakim was on a different level at that time, too.
And he also was...
His bars were layered different than the average ABC rapper in that era, for sure.
I will also say, too, I had a bunch of people tell... They would ask me, like, when I first moved here, and, like, this was during the SMK days... Hell, even the early stages of No Good is Jay Dolla actually asked me, he was like, yo, man, how come you never did get signed? And I told him, this is a crazy story. My inner circle has definitely heard this. The very first rapper I ever met, it was three of them. It was Def Squad. It was Eric Sermon from EPMD, Redman, and Keith Murray. It was 1996, Okinawa, Japan. And we went to, they were having a concert on bass. And we went to... They had a CD signing, you know what I mean? So I went, got my
CDs.
Fucking CDs. Yeah, crazy, right? Went, got my CD signed.
Bro, I used to make so much money when we sold CDs.
Same, you know what I mean? But I remember I had my Japanese girlfriend with me, and Eric Sermon was known as the green-eyed bandit. Kind of dark-skinned dude, but he had green eyes. For black people, that's rare, you know what I mean? Well, my girlfriend had green eyes, and I remember he was like, oh, he noticed that shit. And I was like, yo, that's my girl. He's like, calm down, money. I wasn't trying to take your girl. I just noticed. So I remember we went outside and it was like a whole bunch of rappers were just outside. This was on the mall on the Air Force base. And we were all just like Cypher freestyling and shit. And I'll never forget when they walked out, fucking Redman came in and joined us. And Eric Sermon was watching from their little van limo thing. And after like 15, 20 minutes of just going bar for bar, he pulled out me and this other kid who was actually a kid. He was a dependent of a military person. And he pulled us to the side and was like, yo, I will take y'all on the road with me right now. Put $5,000 in your pocket. Just tell me you want to go. And we get back to the States. I'll fucking sign you and shit. So he thought I was a dependent. I was fucking.
You would have got dishonorable discharge and AWOL and get court-martialed.
And $5,000 was not enough. No. But since the very first rapper I met wanted to sign me on the spot off hearing me freestyle, I just assumed it was going to happen like that again. And it didn't. So then I moved to D.C. and I was meeting rappers all the time. You know what I mean? Especially East Coast cats. Like, they were coming to the club I was DJing at. Because D.C. is Chocolate City. At the time, D.C. was the Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? So you had all these Philly cats, all these fucking New York cats. As a matter of fact, that was the first time I met the Licks from California, the Alcoholics, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I remember when Taz came here, you know what I mean? He still remembered me. It had been like fucking 10, 15 years. But also, it wasn't as easy. Like, if think about how Soulja Boy did it. This motherfucker had a computer and Fruity Loops and did his whole, like, his first album put it on MySpace. When he got signed, all they did was re-record him professionally. Mm-hmm. It was all the shit he had already recorded. So it's a lot easier now. If you have the dream, you have, if, even if you just want to make music, whether you're worried about getting signed or not, fucking do it. Don't buy that liquor. Don't buy them smokes. Don't buy that fucking video game. Get you a halfway decent computer. Get you a halfway decent mic and get in the studio. You make yourself a studio. It is way too easy now.
Yo, the mixer I got right here on the table, it's $150. You can get a fucking mic like we're using right now for $100.
And you can get this shit secondhand or Amazon, eBay too. You know what I mean?
You can get a USB microphone that you can plug into your fucking phone. And run with that. Like, where there's a will, there's a way, and you can make it happen.
Nowadays, it wasn't like
no, again, yeah, right. Yeah.
When
right.
I first started,
it's easier now more than ever.
And here's the crazy shit.
So there's
too,
really
I think,
there's really no excuse.
If you think about how many D-boys were turned rappers, I'm talking street hustlers, you know what I mean? There was a reason there were so many, because they could afford to go to the studio, you know what I mean? If you couldn't afford to go to the studio, you know what I mean? And I'd say from probably 2003, 2005 on back, if you couldn't afford to go to the studio, it wasn't going to happen unless you just got lucky and you met someone, you know what I mean, that were going to sign you on the spot. Mm-hmm. It just didn't happen that way, you know? And it took me a while to realize, you know, it wasn't going to happen the way I hoped.
Yo, real quick, Victor Nunez in the chat says,
my dog, Victor.
Brother Lynch.
Brother Lynch, huh?
Underrated.
Yeah, I got put onto him when I was in Japan. You know what I mean? That EBK track, yo, that was my shit.
Literally the reason why I don't listen to him.
Yeah, and we all know, you know what I'm saying? We know what I bang, but yo, that song, I couldn't hate. I also remember being out
here. I would
here.
Never say he's not a good rapper, but he's just not for me. Yeah. Nothing he says appeals to me, you know what I mean? It just don't resonate. And not like, he's a better rapper
it's
than me.
It's not all that complex.
So before everybody
it's not
gets
all
crazy
that
to me,
yeah.
That's just not my style.
I just like that song. But
it's definitely not all that complex.
But see, horrorcore, I remember when horrorcore was like the big... Like
Esham.
Yeah, Eastside Hoes and Money.
Esham.
I'm from Michigan, yeah. So trust me, these are all motherfuckers I grew up with. Not knowing, but grew up, you know what I mean? Like, I tell motherfuckers all the time, like...
Yeah, Esham was like the mid 80s, late 80s too. Mm-hmm.
And then when he got signed to Psychopathic, he released that album with like
21 Yola. A1 Yola and a music video
and
for all of them.
He had new shit on there and they re-released old shit. Mm-hmm.
I
on
love
there
Esham.
Too.
But yeah,
Esham's one, I mean,
that's not my style.
He's
some, I mean?
No, I know, but like as far as people that didn't get talked about much or weren't given
depends on where you're from. Like there's a lot of Michigan motherfuckers that got put on. Like MC Breed, he's from my home. Well, it's not my hometown, but where I grew up, he was friends with Tupac.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I was just watching ICP get interviewed by WAC 100 the other day, and WAC 100 had no idea who ICP was. MC Breed is his favorite rapper ever,
right?
But he had no idea who ICP was. So
That's
that was
crazy.
Like it was tight to see him get to learn about them,
right?
And also, the shit that he knew about everything that was going on around them, but mm-hmm. not them specifically. So I thought that was pretty tight for a hip-hop interview anyway.
And, yo, I was never a big ICP fan myself, but I do have to give them props for how they went back and grabbed a lot of local Michigan people that were big in Michigan or at least in the Midwest.
ABK, Twisted,
Shoestring, and what's all them? The Dayton family.
I love motherfucking Dayton family.
Now, hold on.
I
had beef with them niggas growing up, you know what I mean? Because they were Crips and I lived in a blood hood, you know what I mean? Obviously.
I thought they were GDs.
They are, to be specific. I went to school with Ira's little brother and got jumped by the motherfuckers, actually, because they're about 2 years older than me.
Bootleg and Shoestring and what?
I can't remember the other nigga's name. But
well, hold up. Speaking of business sense and shit.
I'm going to finish this story.
Yeah, hold on real quick. Basically, after I got out of boot camp, when I went back to Flint, that was when they got signed by ICP. And I remember I was kind of, when I saw him coming to the club where I was DJing at, I kind of bucked up and called my security. Like, I thought I was going to be some things. He was like, man, that shit was high school, dog. We, you know what I mean? That's over and done with. And ever since then, man, we've been cool. And I remember playing this shit. He'd come in and give me pound. And that was when the Fab Five from Michigan State were all fucking playing in the NBA. It was a crazy time. I've lived a crazy life. I have never made it to that level of famous, but I've been able to rub noses with some big heads. So props to them.
As far as ICP goes, and like speaking of business sense, I mean, they built their shit from nothing.
They kind of credited Tech N9ne with stealing their business model on that interview.
Mm-hmm.
They gave themselves the credit for what Tech N9ne's doing.
That might be a little crazy.
Not really. He put them on. Yeah, I mean,
I think it was like a fusion of Tech N9ne's movement with ICP's movement, and they made it. But I feel like Tech N9ne definitely probably did take a couple things from him because they was doing it a little bit bigger before he was.
I mean, and that's okay. I mean, but like if they were doing that, like it depends on the context and how they were saying that.
With the merchandising, because Tech N9ne has basically blown up off his merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
So they credit themselves with giving him pointers in how to take his independent game to the next level. With touring and merchandise.
This was on No Jumper.
They said that too, yeah.
Were they saying that he doesn't give them credit?
He was saying that Tech basically learned that from them, is what he was saying. You could watch it, bro. It's on No Jumper.
I mean, were
the
they
Whack,
being,
Whack 100 and ICP.
Were they being shitty about it? Or were they
no.
just...
He went over their whole beef when him and Tech N9ne was beefing and how they're cool now and... all that shit, but
yeah, he still goes on the Juggalo things with them.
Yeah, on their the gathering. I don't know. I've never been to a gathering, so I couldn't tell you one way or another. But I just know off what he was saying in the thing the other day that they're cool now. But there was static with them not so long ago, but they started out as homies. So,
and I remember they were already popping
before Tech was really popping.
Okay,
what was you want to say about beef earlier?
Oh right. So you, over the course of the past few weeks, there's been a guy that swears to God that he's got a beef with you, and the posts are fucking hilarious. So the comments, like you guys going back and forth, and this guy's like just trying so hard to start some shit with you.
Bro,
and
I think he's not mentally all the way there.
Yeah. And you're like, bro, I don't even know who you are. Like, who are you? And he's like, oh, you know who the fuck I am? And you're like, no, I really don't.
I have no fucking clue. Bro,
and you still don't. So give us the rundown of what's going on there.
What had happened, supposedly this dude's name is like Prodigal something. Anyway, I found out about him off YouTube. He was trolling a bunch of my videos in the comments.
Okay.
On like 5 different videos, he was just going in on the comments like, where are you at? And then another one's like, you know where to find me. And then another one's, it was just shit like to that extent, right?
Just trying to bait you.
I have no idea what he was trying to do.
Because you don't even know this motherfucker, right?
At all. Never seen him before, never heard of him. I went to his YouTube page, looked, I don't recognize him.
He's trying to gain clout off of you.
Yeah, so I have no idea what he's
or
trying
he
to
could
do,
be,
bro.
He could
I think he's
issue.
Not mentally all the way there is what I think the situation is. So then I go, you know how you have your message requests on Facebook? If you're not friends with someone, their message don't go to your inbox. It goes to your message request.
Uh-huh.
So I don't check those ever. You know what I mean? Usually it's spam or like some fucking weirdo chick or fucking some shit I don't want to see.
Right? So he swears you're ducking him and shit too.
So check it out. So one day I fucking had somebody try to add me on Facebook and they're like, hey, bro, I tried to add you or something. You know what I mean? So I went to my message request and I seen I had a message from somebody called Johnny Faust. Well, I go to his profile in the parentheses under Johnny Faust. It says Prodigal, whatever it said on his YouTube. So I was like, oh, fuck, this is the same guy. But bro, he's like legit going at me, but like hashing it out with himself in my message requests. He's like, where are you at? Want to meet? Osh, I love you. Where are you at?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, bro, it was like way fucking weird. And at the end, he's like, hey, bro, I'm sorry. I had it all wrong. I apologize. So
yeah, I
the
saw
best
the one.
Of luck to you and your future. I'm like, what the f-?
Yeah,
he hashed it all out by himself, bro. I was
yeah,
no part of
he
it.
He worked out the beef all.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't even have to battle him.
No.
So it's funny, but yeah, because he was like, oh, I was wrong. I can admit when I'm wrong. I'm not too proud to say that. It was just like, and I saw that, and I commented on the shit. I'm like, bro, this is... so confusing.
Yeah.
Like I don't even know what the fuck's going on. And then you're like, bro, I don't
imagine being me one day and like I have all these comments on my YouTube channel and I'm like, and they weren't like consistent with anything. So I'm like, what's he? He's like speaking out of context on everything he's talking about. I have no idea what this dude's talking about. But I personally, I've already stated, rap was never my main goal in this. I do that because I'm pushing an agenda and a movement with my music, right? But as far as O'Shea, the person, it's pretty close to who O'Shea, the artist, or O'Sh from the Ghost is as an artist, you know what I mean? So I will never take time out of my day ever to, and it, you could call me a shitty rapper, you could say I don't got whatever, this and that. My body of work is bigger than fucking basically any local rapper. So
all I've ever heard you say is that you aren't even, like, you, in your opinion, you're not even top five in Casper.
Yeah, but not even, what I'm saying is, I personally, who I am as a person, bro, if I'm not going to sit back and fucking write a rhyme about you. Like, we're in Casper, we're all on the same level.
Right.
You could hit me up, we could hash it out in the DMs, we could hash it out face to face, or we could hash it out other ways. But I'm not going to fucking write one rhyme about another fucking man.
Yeah, period. Because you said your main concern was to build a community. Exactly. You're out here trying to help.
Exactly.
Now, yo, that's funny that you mentioned that, because I started off as a battle rapper, just freestyling, you know, yeah, what I'm saying? Like, when I started getting serious about it, like, I used to write shit.
That's a different art form, but though. Yeah,
so I started off in the battle. So about the time, this was still in the SMK days, you know what I mean? I was the same way. I was always trying to put people on, And there would be people that would move into town and just come at me, you know what I mean? Because it was like coming at me, like, in order to get a name out, you got to come out with who was that guy at the time.
When I was younger, bro, you, before SMK days, the only people that I ever really heard of as far as music in Casper was you. The first person I ever heard of was Cozy. And then it was you, and then it was Task, who's Lucchese now.
Yeah.
But it went like that, and then I heard SMK, and then I went to prison when No Good was popping. You guys were kind of on the downcline there, and you was doing your Addict Records thing, mm-hmm, when I was getting out of prison, and then I started doing music.
But yeah, it was crazy. I there were so many people, and I'm cool with most of them now, you know what I mean? But there were so many people that came at me. As a battle rapper, if you do a track on me, now not so much now because I'm almost 50, unless it's a good one. If someone were, I'll tell you this right now, I'm 47 years old. You drop a fucking diss record at me right now, and it's even, if it's good, I will respond. But if it's garbage, I'm not. You know what I'm saying? But if it's good, I will
respond. Maybe that's my problem.
You know what I mean?
I've only been dissed by somebody and it was trash. So maybe,
Or somebody that created a beef out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, that's most of the time, dude, that's what they are.
That guy seemed so unhinged. Like, how the fuck?
Bro, most of the time, and like
if he's arguing with himself and then he worked it out, right, himself.
Bro, most of the time, like, rap beefs are created by one person out of their own head for no reason.
Right,
or to get a buzz.
Or to get clout, yeah.
It's just to boost themselves somehow or whatever, because they somehow feel jealous, or this guy's bigger than me, I can... Like, even if it's not, like, a real hate thing, they're just like, oh,
bro,
this dude's got a little more of a following. If I start a beef with him, then people know who I am, too.
And but you know what? And that's why I was so much with doing the battles. Because most people, I'm not going to say all, and I'm not going to bring up any names, because, again, I'm cool with just about everyone I battled with over the past. And, like, some of us are even close now. But there were some folks that battled me where I ended their careers. You know what I mean? So it was like, oh, you're going to try and do this? You know what I mean? So it was like, all right, my goal is to make you stop rapping. You know what I mean? Forever. You know what I mean? That's how I look at a battle rap to me. Like I said, that's if it was good enough to reply. So for one, if you got a reply out of me, that means you did have something that was good enough to make me. You know what I mean? But there have been some garbage.
It's like if you don't reply, then you look like a bitch almost.
Yeah. No, well, no. kind of.
See, that's like what he was just saying, bro. If you're going to come and diss me, and A, it's trash, and B, like, you're a weak person, bro, what am I going to gain out of fucking dissing you or beating you up?
Yeah.
That's like, true. No, that's true.
Everybody's going to look at me like I'm the lame for beating you up. You know what I mean? Like, so like I said, I'm not going to sit back and write no rhyme about nobody. So you're just going to have to like hash it out with me one way. I'm very diplomatic. I am so willing to fucking, you know what I mean? Like, what's your problem? That's my, okay, how do we get past this? Or we just stay the fuck away from each other.
Yeah.
I'm very, that's what I go to first. You know what I mean?
Did you ever like message back and forth with that dude other than
no, just comments? The Facebook comments.
Okay.
Or not Facebook, YouTube comments.
So you weren't interested in like finding
bro,
out what
here's
the fuck?
My thing. Like, I'm from Casper, right? So there's a lot of tweakers and mentally unstable people. And those are two groups of people that I've learned not to mess with. Reason being is because I do normal shit. I take care of my kids and I go to sleep every night.
And yo, they have nothing to lose. Too.
Exactly. Those are the type of motherfuckers who will wait under your car for 3 days just to fucking slash your tires in front of you type shit. You know what I mean? I ain't got
fucking,
time for that shit.
Or
break your windows out when you're sleeping and fucking
do some dumbass shit.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Ride on your car. And
yo, by the way, you know what I mean? And I don't think this has anything to do with hip hop, but this is just some of the hater shit. For one, mad props to everybody that gives me love in this town. And sometimes I forget how much love is actually out there. Like, little kids would come up. I went to fucking Firehouse Pizza the other day and winked at this little kid. Was like 7. Was like, hey, what's up? And I was walking out, I heard him telling his parents. He was like, yo, DJ Nike just spoke to me. I didn't even know he recognized who I was. So big props. I got nothing but love for everybody. But as soon as I got my motherfucking Hummer, I think I had it like 3 months and somebody keyed it. You know what I mean? Like, the level of haterade for dumb shit, you know what I mean? And somebody was like, well, did you fuck somebody's girl or some shit? Like, no, man, I'm single. I ain't messing with nobody. There's just some haters out there. And honestly, I would bet it was a dude. You know what I mean? I don't even think it was a you know what I mean?
That is some bitch-ass shit.
Yeah, so they're those type of people with them crazy mentality. So I see why you don't engage for, you know what I mean? But, like, the rap beeps for me, for one, it was a different era. And coming from the battle game, you know what I mean? I live and thrive for that shit. You know what I mean?
I've been dissed on record, but never by anybody. I would gain anything by even responding. Or
yeah, at this point, I don't even think anybody ever would me. A matter of fact, I even turned down, this was some radio shit. My son, who's now 22, you know what I mean? When he was like 12, got on social media and said he wanted to battle me. And my boss, Donovan Short, at the time at the fucking radio station, was like, yo, we could put this out for content. You know what I mean? I was like, no, I'm not going to battle my son. And he was like, well, why not? I was like, I have nothing to gain from this. I was like, if by some miracle.
And what am I going to do? Hurt my son's feelings?
Yeah. He was like, yeah, by some miracle he beats me, then I lost to my child. If I did totally destroy him, why'd you do your kid like that?
Because
when it comes to hip hop, like when I used to battle, and I'm talking.
Yeah,
like
I know shit about you, like from you were born.
Yeah,
like,
you know what I mean?
Like, I will fucking make you.
Yo, I don't
my kids only know the cool shit about me. So.
Yeah. I don't know how to play fair. Like, I remember.
I know all the dumb shit you did.
Yeah, just the shit about the shit I could say about your mother. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, just off the top.
And that's what battle rap is,
yeah,
too.
I had sex with your mom. Even just that.
Yeah, you can say that literally.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I remember getting in. Well, I never had anybody punch me, but that was my whole goal. Like,
was
if you
try to get somebody
to punch me. Yeah. Like, I wanted to say the most outlandish shit that a motherfucker would get so mad they would swing on me. Because that it was, for one, that'd be an automatic victory in a battle. But I remember there was a lot of times where I'd be battling motherfuckers that were way bigger than me because I was 140 pounds. 20 years ago, you know what I mean? And I remember this was in Flint. I was ended up battling this dude, and he was like 6'6", and he just happened to have a shirt on that had like the number one on the back. And you know me, I have them Yankee jerseys that have my name on the back, and all of them have a number one. I let this motherfucker go. He spit his 16, however many it was, and then I just let him have it. And I'm pointing up at this motherfucker, and I was like, yo, your game ain't strong. How you gonna talk shit when you got my number on? And that was how I killed. Like, that was my last bar. The whole fucking crowd was like, ah! And I really thought this motherfucker was gonna swing on me. But for real, that was my all-time goal. I wanted to talk about you so bad, whether it was I slept with your mama, whether I really did fuck your bitch, whatever it was, my whole goal was to make you mad. And that's how I, you know what I mean? That's why the battle, it was fun to me, you know what I mean? Especially to be able to come up with that shit off the top of your head. Oh, I lived for that.
Mm-hmm.
Lived for that.
So one thing I wanted to talk about in this too, and you kind of touched on it, you said it, you didn't really touch on it, was how the term of freestyle has changed throughout hip hop.
Yeah.
So originally, because I've heard LL talk about this back in the day when they used to do their ciphers, they were spitting writtens.
Mm-hmm.
But that was called a freestyle. The mid
90s.
Mid 90s, it changed to freestyle was off the top.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's gone back to a freestyle is a written. So all these radio shows you see and all the viral clips. Yeah, where
they're
spitting
some shit, they wrote that.
Now here's the thing.
Well, some of them they're spitting off the top, but a lot of it.
Most of that shit's
But those
written.
Little dicky ones that you see, those are all shit that he wrote.
NLE Choppa, The Baby, yeah, any of the ones you see. Yeah,
what's that white kid?
Jack Harlow?
No, I like Jack Harlow. I liked him, but we'll get into that later.
He seems like a nice dude.
no, dude is nice on the mic. Like, I knew who Jack Harlow was 6 years ago because he signed to DJ Drama, and Drama fucking shared a video of him. It's called Sundown. If you just now started listening to Jack Harlow, look up Sundown. He was a little bit chubbier. Definitely doesn't look anything the way. I mean, he still looked the same, but he looked like a white kid from Casper that you wouldn't expect would be a rapper. You know what I mean? But kid had bars. I've been fucking with him since then. But no, I'm talking about the I think he's from Philly. He got tattoos all over. He signed to Jadakiss label.
Oh, Millie's.
Millie's. Yo, that's my guy. I love, yo, he writes shit just to go to these shows. They're not songs, but I think most of his freestyles that he does on these shows are better than most of his written albums.
That's a fact. That's literally what I was just going to say about Millie's. Millie's freestyles are better than his albums.
And there's a lot of dudes that's like that.
There's one that Tyga did recently that was pretty fucking fire, too.
Who?
Tyga.
Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't. I'll look it up.
It's over that one, bitch. I said what I said. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
That fucking song.
That fucking Doja Cat?
Yeah, he does it over that beat. And,
all right.
But he does his own freestyle over that, or written shit, or whatever it is.
I wouldn't have rhymed over that beat.
You know one thing I like, too?
Who would? But when he did, it's fucking fire as hell.
But I'll say too, back in the day, like I remember even like them house parties and shit when we would do the like just freestyle. They weren't even battles. I remember motherfuckers. Their excuse was, I can't do it without a beat, which is, I had no respect for that neither. Like if you're gonna be a freestyler, but then motherfuckers that had to
have. I feel like acapella is way better because then you can manipulate your beat.
But
acapella.
But motherfuckers that can't.
Yeah,
like,
you can shift it in your own head. And
I
do
could
whatever
always
you want.
Rhyme over any beat, and even as an East Coast head, there was always something. As a freestyler, off the top freestyler, there was something fucking NWA said that I'll never fucking forget. It was MC Ren. He was like, you're either talking about the place to be, who you are, what you got. About a sucker MC. If you can always keep that in the back of your head, I can always rhyme my name, whether it's my real name, Sean, Word is Bond, Jackson, Action, Pat Guns, Nike, you want to be like me. I can rhyme something with Casper, with Wyoming, any
Bro,
place I've ever
yeah,
lived.
So many verses I started with my name. Osh from the Ghost.
You know,
and
what
you
I mean?
Know that I'm a businessman. Osh from the Ghost. And I'm feeling like an animal. So many times I've started off my name. So yeah.
So yeah, if you remember those things that you
Casper, so
never,
many times.
Yeah, you will never have shit that you know what I'm saying, not to rhyme about.
Dude, I grew up with as my best friend was he's still to this day one of the top freestyle artists I ever met. Off the top. God damn it. Oh, we was talking about Tech N9ne one day and he was saying the thing he don't like about Tech N9ne is that he says his name too much. And another thing that he didn't like was that he talks about Kansas City too much. So literally, it's kind of like not personal against him, but kind of an embracement of that because those are two things that I loved about Tech N9ne.
Right.
So I always, 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 always talk about Casper, and mm-hmm. I always say my name.
And you know what, yo? I have respect for that, props, because there was a lot of people, and for the most part, this is always non-rappers. And normally it's motherfuckers that don't even know anything about hip hop. It used to piss me off. I'm to the point now they don't matter. And I should have been like that from Jump Street. But I used to see that meme every fucking year and it would piss me off. Somebody in your hometown is still trying to be a rapper. Motherfucker, not trying to be. I am. You know what I mean? People compare like
that. That's fucking mindset. You know what I mean?
It's that crab shit. That is the dumbest shit. You don't hear people going to the rec center. You know what I mean? Talking about, yo, oh, boy's playing basketball at 35. Is he trying to get in the league? No, he's playing ball because he loves it.
I've used that comparison so many times, Doc.
Think about it like this. When you quit smoking, like in your mind, were you going, oh, I'm somebody who's trying to quit smoking? Or you're just, or did you say, I'm not a smoker? You know what I mean? It's like mindset.
Oh, yeah. I quit. Well, I quit because it was a health thing. Like,
no, I get why you did, but I'm saying, like, in your mind, like, you're more likely to succeed. My point is if you go, oh, I am a rapper, as opposed to I'm trying to be a rapper, or I'm trying to quit smoking.
But like
or,
I said, my whole point about
because all, then you have an out. You
but
have
it's
an
always
out.
Somebody that's not even in the hip. Like, you know what I mean? It's normally some white girl. You know what I mean? Normally.
No, I got you.
It's that haterade. You know what I mean? That's that shit here in town.
That's because those people are miserable and they don't have a thing of their own.
Exactly.
But
what you just said.
But see, but there's a lot of them. Like I'm not gonna say not that I think the bitch is watching anyway. And yeah, I called her a bitch, but.
Bitch. I'll call her a bitch right
you
now.
You know what I mean? I think she did makeup or hair or something like that. She did something. You know what I mean? And she got paid to do it.
Yeah, but
you
that's your job. Is that like your real passion?
But that wasn't her job. That was her side hustle. You know what I mean? That wasn't her everyday job. That was my hope. Whether you're doing it because you like to do it. Like, I know motherfuckers that do hair and nails because they like to do it. They might get paid for it on the side. You know what I mean? Whatever you do for fun, especially if you're good at it, it shouldn't matter fucking if you were trying to do it on a professional level. You're doing it because you enjoy it. Maybe
that's why we do this podcast. Yeah. Like, we're not getting paid for this shit.
So,
but we do this every week because we enjoy it.
I just don't understand why motherfuckers even have to, like, that whole mentality. Never in my life would I go and diss somebody for doing something that they're doing in their spare time. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That is the fucking dumbest shit.
Do you see that shit? That
it's the same thing we were talking about earlier. It's a waste of energy. You're wasting energy you could be putting towards furthering your own fucking
But like
goals.
What you if just said, bro, the people that are doing that are usually miserable in their own
life.
They
don't,
like,
they
no
don't got
drive,
their,
no hobbies,
they don't got their
no
own
motivation.
Shit.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Those are the people who this is what I was saying the other day, because I started a whole shit the other day. I shared this post about rapping over your backing vocals.
Right.
Okay, so or the post said rapping over your vocals, and it was trashing people who do that. But my point was every artist should do what's comfortable to them, because there are a lot of mainstream artists that rap over their vocals that sell millions. And there are local artists that don't got no backing vocals and don't sell nothing.
Right.
So my whole point to that was every artist should do what makes them comfortable, because this is what I always say too, bro. If I listen to every fucking buddy that had an opinion on what I'm doing,
right,
I'd be sitting on the couch mad next to him.
Facts. Yo, and another point too, man. Yo, I may be known more as being a DJ now. I got my job at Kiss FM for being a rapper. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
DJ too, right?
Huh?
Was it from being a DJ or a rapper?
No, it was from being a rapper. You know what I mean? The way I marketed myself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The way I marketed myself, like most radio people, personalities have to make up a personality when they get to radio. So like everybody I work with had to come up with what their personality is on air. I already had one coming in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was just a way of making it marketable. You know what I mean? To an audience, which means I did have to change certain things. Like I wasn't cursing.
Can't be cussing.
Yeah. I did have to adjust somewhat. And also I had to learn that I was a fucking role model. I used to hear rappers say that all the time. Like, I'm not a role model. This is what I'm doing. Well, sometimes if you're in the public eye, you'll become a role model whether you want to. And I had to adjust to that. You know what I mean? As well.
You guys know Tracy Benelak?
Yeah, that's Tracy. That's mom's. Love you, mom.
That's your mom?
No, not my actual birth mother, but a mother figure. Love you, mom.
She requested to join us real quick. Should we bring her in?
Sure.
All right. We're bringing you in, Tracy. Oh, couldn't add her. Maybe she did that on accident. Yo, Eric said this podcast is dope as fuck. Loving the conversation. Thank you, brother. We appreciate that big time.
Yeah, big prop. But what I was saying, man, I do want to give you props. Me saying it right now, you have been bigging up Casper in such a dope way. You know what I mean? And it was dope to see somebody else. Because, like, the same haters, you know what I mean? They're talking about why are you rapping and blah, 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 blah. It was like, I remember people telling me, why the hell would you put Casper in a song? because I'm from here, bitch. Yeah, why would I not want to big up where I'm from? You know what I mean?
Bro, I remember I thought it was so tight. And now listening to it, and no hate, Cozy, but the song Casper back in the day, bro.
Casper, to me, the city to that me, I always
when
run
I was
back
young, bro,
to...
that me and my brother, my sister, a couple of my cousins, bro, that was a big fucking deal. Because we lived in Casper.
But that was the first time you heard something like that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But then you guys did 307, that shit was.
And that was decades
you're
later.
Your fucking verse on that song.
Thank you.
It was so fucking good.
Thank you.
Like, bro, me and I'm Styles, not even trying to be on your nuts. No, I'm just saying, like,
pause.
That shit was fucking fire as hell.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No Diddy.
Yeah. when I first moved into town, yo, I remember I got here in February. Like, by March, when it was warming up, you know what I mean? I remember just driving by random cars and would hear that shit. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, that gave me my drive.
What year was that?
2002.
Yeah. I remember that when that came out. I mean, that everybody was listening to that shit.
Like, Cozy used to date my cousin Michelle. That's how I got the CD.
And like, him and I are the same age, you know what I mean?
Is he still around?
He's around.
Back. He's back now. He's around. Matter of fact, and he's still spitting, you know what I mean?
We should get him on. We should get him on for a...
That would be a good one. Yeah. These two on the same podcast, that would be a good one.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, but see, we always had a nice is not the word, but we had a competition, but it was like a friendly thing. It was like, all right, your track is bumping right now, so what can I put out? You know what I mean?
See, that would make for a good podcast, like Osh was saying, like get you guys on and talk about that history. And
yeah, it was crazy.
That'd be a good show.
But yeah, and I remember even when I was talking like to the Cheyenne people and shit, not dissing them for their movement and shit, but there's a lot of them motherfuckers that are younger than y'all. They're saying they brought hip hop to Wyoming. Nah, Cozy was doing it first.
Bro, I like what I was saying on that post the other day about the backing vocals. I started a whole internal, it was already there under the surface, but I made it public by bringing out the two sides of those arguments, right? Because a lot of new wave artists, they do rap over their backing vocals.
A lot. But
okay, so I'm hella plugged in with the Cheyenne scene. A couple of the cats down there I've done songs with. One of the cats does my videos. I've done shows with multiple artists down there.
Right.
My homegirl Nilly, she's in Cheyenne. Super close with her. So I'm super plugged into that scene, and I seen the giant rift, bro, just the other day over that shit.
It's a crazy. Like, I saw today on Twitter there were the big thing was Drake and Wayne did a show, and they had
the teleprompter
their words on it. And it's like, yo, that I will give Jay prop. Jay doesn't even write his shit down, which is one.
Wayne too.
But he was talking about his catalog. He was like, you know what I'm saying? You got 20 years worth of rhymes. You're not going to be able to remember them all on stage.
I said that to Tech N9ne at a show. I suggested that he rapped Walk These Shoes, and he's like, God damn. He's like, I don't even know the words to that song.
Yeah.
Well, we're hitting about an hour and 30, almost an hour and 40, so we probably better wrap it up for now. Thanks again, Osh, for being on the show again.
I love you, nerds.
And if you're in the chat, Eric, we appreciate you being in the whole episode, bro. That was
everybody,
the shit.
Yo.
Eric's my dog. That's my business partner, my brother. I love you. My Aquarius fucking twin. That's my bro. We started working on a collab album, which morphed into his own solo project and my own solo project. But bro, we rock sets together. We actually was the only local openers for the last Tech N9ne show.
That's what's up.
And it was a sellout show. So props to EP for hanging on the whole episode. I love you. Scatterbrain, his whole movement. Everybody go check him out. Check me out on everything. Osh from the Ghost, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, every single streaming service. About to drop a new album. I got two more tracks that are going to be mastered and sent to me that I'm waiting on. Baby J, hurry your ass.
What up, Baby J?
Eric, mixed and mastered 8 tracks. Baby J's mixed and mastering 2. That's the 2 I'm waiting on. New album, Morpheus. I dropped my first track, video actually. It's called It's Like That. Go check it out on YouTube. Next video, Morpheus coming out or, rolling up with E-Pill. My dog E-Pill in Denver.
That's my guy.
And so, yeah, just stay on the lookout. There's lots of shit coming out. Rapper's Delight, lots of artists, lots of cats I didn't get to name. Cheyenne artists, Wince, Bone C, Savage Green, Nilly V, Vontae, Pocketbook Profit, my cats from NLG, Sino So Wavy, motherfucking Dazzed, all my cats. Shane Wavy from the Res. We got Sycamore Treezy.
Yeah.
Motherfucking Gentry Fox. We got, bro, Wyoming is popping. And that's off the top of my head. That's not even thinking. There's so many more people. Mm-hmm. I love you all. If I didn't mention you, stay tuned. We got lots to come. Hit me. I'm putting together state ciphers. We're bringing it back. I'm done.
Oh, yeah, I
tried to step back.
Too, by the way.
Bet. I stepped back hoping someone would try to take the reins, but I'm back. This is my lane. I'm here to do this, so let's do this.
Hell yeah. Speaking of staying tuned, go to thecomiczone.com. That's where we got all our episodes of the podcast. We got about 150 on there. If you are new, go ahead and give us a follow here on Facebook, on TikTok, and you can listen to all of our podcasts.
Everywhere you currently get yours.
Yeah, anywhere you stream music or podcasts. And stay tuned for next week. Not sure what we're going to do, but we will be back then.
Yes,
until
sir.
Then, what is it?
Stay black.
That's right.
Black!